let's take the worst case scenario. Let's take the Holocaust. The Holocaust was an event of such gargantuan proportions that you have no choice other than to say that this was a time of Hester Pony, when God hid his face. So we would say that that means that God was not looking, that he turned away from Klal Yisrael and allowed for the things to happen that the only reason they didn't happen in other times of history was because Hashem constantly thwarted these designs, but now he wasn't thwarting them, so evil took its course.
But according to our logic, that can't be really.
Right. Yes or no. In the midst of God's hiddenness, there is nonetheless the very exquisite providence of Hashem, so that every single person who was mandated that they survived, survived. So that leaves us with the following, that there were people who ordinarily did not deserve to be swept up in that time of madness. But inasmuch as there's no such thing as people who have no complicity. And so you have this famous story that the Gemara tells, that before the Churban, that Hashem instructed one of the archangels to put a letter on the brow of every righteous Jew so that that letter would protect them from being one of the casualties of the invasion of the city, the destruction of the temple, the exile of the... So they wouldn't be killed. So the Midas HaDin, the attribute of divine justice, argued that this protection was not warranted. So God argued with his Midas HaDin, his own attribute of justice, that they did deserve to be protected because they kept the entire Torah from Aleph to Tav. They kept the entire Torah. So the Midas HaDin countered, well, they kept the entire Torah, but they didn't admonish the ones, they didn't try to stop the people who were doing averus. So God said, well, their protest would not have stopped them. So the Midas HaDin responded, they didn't know that. In other words, here you had people who kept the entire Torah, they were absolutely righteous people. Their only wrongdoing was not protesting was taking place. And had they protested, it wouldn't help. But because they didn't know that it wouldn't help, they became complicit in the wrongdoing of the generation. And as such, when the Midas HaDin concluded that argument, Hashem told the archangels to remove the letter, that they would not be protected.
Different than the Noah story, where that was the criticism of him as well. Noah.
He didn't warn them, right?
So, he didn't do his outreach.
He
told everybody that asked him why he was...
Yeah, good, but he didn't intervene on behalf of the generation in the manner in which he should have. He served anyway because there had to be a world. There's this concept that when evil is given leeway to carry out its own designs, that the righteous perish with the wicked, or the righteous suffer with the wicked. And that's because the righteous and the wicked are joined, because we're part of the same entity. If, God forbid, there's somebody who's got a toe that's gangrenous and has to be cut off before it infects the whole body, so the whole person is now suffering the loss of a toe. It's not the toe that suffered, it's the whole person that suffered. So there is this issue of collective responsibility, collective identity, and everybody is affected by what everybody else does. So that during the years of the Shoah, there were many righteous people who perished. And if you try to take them and look at them individually, it doesn't compute. It doesn't compute why they should suffer. As a community of people, as a family of people, we belong to each other. And when it's no longer possible for God to restrain the forces of evil, so everybody is held up to the strictest judgment. To the human eye, it appears that the righteous and the wicked suffer the same fate. And at the same time, while it appears that in deference to the fact that it's no longer just to restrain the evil from exacting its toll, the Almighty is there picking out those people whose agenda requires them to survive. I don't presume I have a right to talk about it, but I want to comment on this whole thing. Specifically, I mean, the question that you're asking is about little children. You know, they're innocent men and women. The issue of innocence, the fact that something doesn't make any sense, I suppose is amplified by the fact there were little children, babies. When we discussed this in the past, one of the things that we talked about was that we usually see an act of faithlessness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We see transgressions, violations of the Torah as acts that affect exclusively the perpetrator of the act. Right? You have a community of people, you have people who do good, and you have people who don't do good, who try to live up to the divine expectation. There are people who don't give a hoot. So the way we look at it is, okay, it's a private decision, personal, it's your life, so you do whatever you do, and then you also suffer the consequences. Whatever model we're working off of, maybe it's a medical model. If I eat all the wrong things, then I'm the only one who's suffering. On the other hand, if we were to look at perhaps a model such as pollution, then we would understand that when people do things in the privacy of their own backyard or the privacy of their own industry or factory, that there are consequences that everybody suffers from. So you end up breathing in the air that's been polluted by someone who's violating the Clean Air Act, or drinking water that's become toxic because somebody's pouring the toxic waste into the rivers or the lakes. You end up eating vegetables that are suffused with all kinds of toxic chemicals. There are 1,001 ways where people are doing things which, even though they may argue they're doing them privately or personally, but everybody else suffers from it. When people act in violation of Torah, it's not only themselves, it's not themselves exclusively to whom they are doing injury. They are also creating negative or destructive energy. Every wrongdoing is a creative act. Every wrongdoing generates some sort of energy which corresponds to pollution or toxicity or nuclear breakdown. All of a sudden, people are, you know, Agent Orange, people are developing all kinds of diseases. Generally speaking, the Ribbono Shel Olam takes these destructive energies, this malevolent energy, and he quarantines it. A person does a wrongdoing, Hashem quarantines it. He doesn't let it out. He may let it out at the end of that person's life so that the evil that a person has done will be the source of the consequences that that person suffered. Crime doesn't pay you. You end up suffering at your own hand. The evil that you create now becomes the agent of purging you from the evil. But over time, something happens where all of that malevolent energy accumulates great, great proportions. There's this huge continent of, well, it's this enormous reservoir of evil that's being held in abeyance. By the way, in a sense, nothing can live without being sustained by God. God is sustaining the evil that man does. It's remarkable. It's a remarkable phenomenon where people create evil, and it's like an equivalent of some wayward young man who's out there having children with all kinds of prostitutes and then bringing them home to his parents that they should take care of them, he should feed. It's constantly not only allowing people to do evil, giving them life while they're defying him, but then taking the products of that evil and holding them in abeyance. Why does God hold them in abeyance? Because in the gift of the freedom of choice, God has to believe by his own design that he has to allow for people to do tshuva. So here there's a very crucial concept, which is when individuals commit wrongdoing, so there's a period of time in which one can say these are individual wrongdoings. But at a certain point, the individual wrongdoing becomes a culture. It's no longer the fact that there are a million individuals who are committing these averas. It's now metamorphosized. It now has a cultural presence. And as a cultural presence, it's no longer subject to the fact that a given individual may do tshuva, may elect to do tshuva, which is really what God waits for. He sustains them in the faith that man can choose to regret his wrongdoing. In fact, man is capable of undoing, through tshuva, the presence that he's created. He's able to defuse the bomb that he's created. But once it has reached cultural status, it now has perpetuity, it has its own identity. And at that point, in the infinite wisdom of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there is periodically a calculation that it is no longer defensible to quarantine the evil, because God is not waiting anymore for tshuva, because it's no longer a subject. It's become a phenomenon unto itself. And then the quarantine of evil, in a certain sense, you know, like God removes the barriers. Now, when he removes the barriers, it then identifies with evil. So it goes to, for example, it goes to the Germans, who are repositories of hate. And now the Germans are flooded, the Germans, the Polish, the Ukrainians are flooded with this demonic, malevolent energy. So you have Holocaust. And God is, in fact, turned away now. But even then we say he has, in the midst of all of this turning away, I mean, God can't turn away because he's part of history. In the midst of all of this, God was still picking out people. The New York Times had an editorial a long time ago. It must be 15, 20 years ago. They had an editorial because it was Yom HaShoah. So the New York Times said, it's been almost a half a century since Holocaust. Why don't Jews forgive and forget? So they said that they had come across an account that a reporter had written. They witnessed in the death camps that a group of people were being taken to the gas chambers. And there was like a step that you had to go up in order to go into the gas chambers. And there was a little toddler who couldn't navigate that step. So this eyewitness reported that one of the SS guards went up, picked the child up very gently in his arms, put the child into the gas chamber. He says, that's why Jews will not forgive everyone.